The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max's NXT review for May 18th, 2017. And, of course, this is brought to you by W2Mnet.com. And, of course, let you guys know if you want to go find us on, I guess, the Apple Podcasts. I think that you can go find us. I keep saying iTunes, Paul, but didn't they change that to Apple or Podcast or something like that of that nature?
It's still on iTunes on my desktop, so it'll always be iTunes.
But anyway, all that matters, guys, is the fact that you can go find us on wherever you can get podcasts, because we are available almost on every platform. So just let you guys know that. Plus, also, if you love W2Mnet.com, you love some of the other great shows and podcasts that are available on the website, you can go get everything under the sun under our umbrella by going and checking out the W2M Network. That only gets you us, but it also gets you all those other great shows. So just some information for you right there at the top of the show. Of course, I am Gary Vaughn, and our host is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Paul, I've already screwed up. I said May 18th. I'm going by the current date where we're recording this podcast. Actually, NXT was May 17th, if you wouldn't be technical about it. So please don't email me and tell me, my God, Gary, you wrong on the date. I figured it out. So my bad.
Well, it's right on the episode title, so I'm sure they'll forgive you. They know they're in the right place, hopefully.
See, at least Paul got it right, if you know. So, anyway, you guys, I'm sure, want to hear about NXT. So let's go ahead and talk about it. I mean, this is the big show leading up into TakeOver Chicago.
Absolutely, and they opened that show with Drew, or not TakeOver, this show. They opened with Sean Maluta taking on Drew McIntyre. Drew runs him over in about 3.5 minutes or so. I personally like Sean Maluta. He's one of those guys that impressed a lot in the CWC last year and has sort of gotten some opportunities here and there on NXT to come out and job, but he does a great job of it, and Drew looks especially badass here. Big headbutt, big claymore, gets him another victory. And man, I tell you what, McIntyre is just all kinds of impressive since he's hit NXT.
No, definitely. And you know what's kind of awesome about this is that, you know, Drew McIntyre is taking this very serious, and you can tell by his demeanor, he is reaching for the stars already. You know, he just got here, basically, and he wants to reach that next level tomorrow. And that's great, and I appreciate that. You can see in his work rate, it has not changed. He's not slowed down. He's not taking breaks. He's the same guy you saw on the indie circuit after leaving WWE, that first time. So I think a lot of him, and I really do want to see him, you know, get to that next level. I know it's going to take a minute, though, because they're working on some other guys, you know. But this is really cool. And, you know, you're right about Maluta, too. Got to love him. You know, this is what happens. This is the growing pains of these guys. They've got to do the whole job out thing at times. And, you know, it's going to be his time eventually. You know, we saw it a little bit with Oney Lorcan, right? Oney Lorcan kind of filled that. Now we're loving Oney Lorcan, and we're loving all the things that he's given us now. So it's part of the growing pains for that guy.
Absolutely. So, maybe we'll see more of Mr. Maluta in the future. But for now, it's all about McIntyre, and he cuts a promo after the match saying that Wesley Blake has his full attention, even. Wow, if he's a man enough to face him. So I'd be all about that. I like Blake a lot personally, and watching him get beat up by McIntyre is just going to be another fun win under McIntyre's belt.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's probably also the reason they're not mentioning that he's a new daddy, right? They don't want to bring that up because, you know, that would be kind of a heel thing to do, to beat up a daddy who's just now become a father. So they're leaving that in the background. So that's a little nugget for all you that didn't know that. This is, you know, looking like to be something that could be a lot of fun, but I'm with you on this. I'm really thinking that, you know, McIntyre is going to go in there, and this is probably not going to be that long of a match. I bet it's going to be one of the shorter ones on the show, but it's, you know, at least a pretty reputable matchup here, and it's something that McIntyre can go in and look good. And, of course, like I said, he's still reaching for those stars, so that's good news.
A big part of this show really focuses on getting the hype machine behind Hideo Itami and his match with Bobby Roode this Saturday at TakeOver, which, of course, is going to be the main event. And we get a lot of footage of Itami beating Roderick Strong to win the number one contendership and Strong being attacked by Sanity afterwards. So let's talk about the first part of that equation first, as Hideo Itami gets about two or three different video packages across this entire show before we get to the main event segment of the show, where Bobby Roode shows up and says that everybody's been talking all about Itami, and he's sort of left out, and, you know, he's been attacked, and all these other things that have really made him look bad. Well, he's out in Chicago to make Itami an example of what happens when you cross him. And this brings out Hideo, and then Regal comes out to try to stop him from getting in the ring. Itami ends up fighting past him through security, gets into the ring, hits another go to sleep on Bobby, and hits another go to sleep on some of the security guys. Bobby hits him from behind, and then Itami hits him with a go to sleep. So Itami looking all sorts of badass going into this main event on Saturday, not Sunday.
Yeah, he is, but he's also looking a lot like a heel, too. And maybe that's just my way of looking at this, Paul, but I kind of see this as him being, if not a heel, in that gray area. And I know they're not trying to pursue him in a heel fashion. I think they really want him to kind of be that baby face that people are drawn to, that they love, and just love his, you know, attitude about, you know, I'm going to do what's right. But I still kind of feel, you know, going through the security team and, you know, just because they're trying to stop you, kind of shows me that this guy is on another level. And that level is somewhere in between of, you know, I'm an all-out good guy, or I'm just an all-out bad guy. So it's an interesting thing. Plus, I look at this and see Bobby Roode, and not that he's a good guy for sure, but he's playing that chicken, you know, that the heel that runs away and, you know, does those kind of things. And I don't really hate that, but, you know, really, I don't feel connected with this feud right now. I don't know if it's because the time span that this feud has been very short. But I'm just not super connected, Paul. I mean, I can't really put my finger on it.
I don't think that's a far and away bad complaint to have. It's only been about 3 weeks because he won the main event. He beat Roddy to get the contendership, and then he has this big segment last week, and then he has this one. And suddenly it's just them very much trying to get Hideo Itami back on the right trail that he was on before he got injured the first time, let alone the second time. And trying to get him back to that place where they want him to be, and that's being that top guy. And I'm excited for the match. I don't think the feud has really been all that noteworthy, but then again, like you said, it's hard to do a lot in 3 weeks to try to get this into something more than what it's pretty much been, is Bobby Roode running him down and Itami trying to prove that he can still go despite everything that Bobby has been saying about him. And I think that's what this has been about, is just Itami trying to show you, I'm not afraid to fight you, I'm not afraid to fight anybody, if it means I get to be NXT champion. And It's not straight up babyface, obviously, but Shades of Grey is something that they do a lot in NXT, especially when you have so much main event talent running around now, where you kind of need so many different characters to make sure they stay interesting and fresh and very differentiated from each other, so everybody doesn't feel so samey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. And, you know, to be honest with you, my biggest hope for this whole thing and the way it will turn out is I'm really hoping, for the sake of Hideo Itami and also for Bobby Roode, is some shenanigans go down or something happens to where this feud has to continue. And I really don't believe flip-flopping the title is going to really do that. I think really you got to have Hideo Itami still chasing past what Chicago's going to give you. Now, that's not my call. They could very well have Hideo Itami NXT champion at the end of Saturday night. I just kind of feel like that, you know, this short time span has not done them any favors. I would really get interested if they did it further and gave us more into it. And I think both those guys are super awesome. I really do like Hideo Itami. I would love to see him chase a little longer and then reach that plateau becoming NXT champion. I just think this is a little early, especially with such a short time span for this feud.
I mean, we're going to talk about our takeover predictions in our actual W2M episode part two later on, for us at least, if you're listening to this live. I don't think Bobby's going to lose, just because I don't want to get too far into predictions. But I don't know if they need to keep this going. I'd really love to see a number one contendership tournament between all the top guys they have in NXT right now, between Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno and Aleister Black and Roderick Strong and Almas and all these other guys that they have hanging around the top of the card, Eric Young, to where you could sort of try to freshen up just the main event scene and at least get a clear picture of this is what we're doing. Not to mention, it's an easy way to start feuds for a lot of these guys, like an Aleister Black, who doesn't really have anybody to tango with strictly besides him just murdering people. Which we'll get to see next week on NXT, and I'm always excited to see him squash.
I'm drooling already over that. I love watching Aleister Black, and you're right. And you know, I think your idea of a, you know, a tournament and, you know, bringing all these great talents together to fight and to, you know, to really reach that plateau of the number one contendership because of the fact that the NXT title matters. And maybe that's the weird thing here is Bobby Roode has had it, and of course, you know, his stuff was, you know, with Shinsuke Nakamura, everything was fine. I think that was a fun feud. I think they did a great job, and the NXT title did kind of feel important. Now, where we are after it, it's kind of waning. It's like, yeah, the NXT title is there, but it's just so I just want Bobby Roode to hold it a little longer and to make people chase him just that much farther, because I think once you do reach that number one contender after all these guys go and battle out for it, I think that's the perfect guy to beat. I think Bobby Roode is such a great heel that people are going to enjoy seeing him lose that title compared to just, oh, Hideo Itami won it, now he's going to lose or win. You know, we don't know, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any short-term plans to take the championship off of Bobby Roode. He's so great as a champion. He's the perfect heel to me in every way. Great promos, you know, knows how to put together matches very well, as we got to see with his feud with Shinsuke. And it's just an easy guy to hate, even though he's got so many parts about him that you just can't help but love. And I would be okay if Bobby Roode holds that championship all the way up until he leaves the main roster, but we know that's not going to happen. There's just so much talent around him that needs that belt just as much as he does.
Yeah, and that's a long way to go, like you said. So, and I know I'm taking a long time on this. I just want to clarify to people what I'm thinking here. I'm definitely not predicting yet. We're going to save that, like Paul said. But I these are just a few of my thoughts on it. And I think Hideo Itami is going to be a champion. And I think eventually when that happens, it's going to be something that's special. And that's why I want this to linger. Will it happen? I don't know. We'll talk about that on the other end. Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side of that video package I mentioned earlier, you have Eric Young and Sanity cut a promo, and they say that they usually don't take requests because in that previous package they end it with Roderick Strong challenging Sanity. EY accepts it, essentially, so now we have Roderick Strong and Eric Young added to the card officially at TakeOver this Saturday. I'm into the. I mean, Roderick has had some great matches on NXT. I think him and EY can have a fun match, and I imagine shenanigans aplenty are going to be everywhere, not only with Sanity, but with the cadre of baby faces that have sort of popped up around Roderick and Ty Dillinger, seeing as he's no longer here. I guess he's the de facto babyface leader.
Yeah, in a way, right? And you saw that torch pass when Roderick Strong was hugging all over Dillinger after his win against EY in that cage match. But, you know, here's the thing. I love Roderick Strong. I've been a fan of his. I've watched him mainly in Ring of Honor. That was more of my time with Roderick Strong. I know, Paul, you watch a lot of indies, so you probably saw him in other platforms. But, I mean, this is an excellent wrestler. I'd still hope that they continue to work with him in the promo class and to really educate him and to really help him become something special when it comes to that. Because, I mean, in that backstage segment where he's beat up and they're showing him and he's talking to William Regal and asking for sanity, it just, to me, was a little on the weak side, and I don't want to be mean. I'm just saying you still can understand that this guy is a little bit weak in that side of the whole, you know, game. I think he could still use work, and that's just nitpicking, but that's just me. I want to let people know what I think on that. I think he reminds me a lot of another wrestler that, you know, we are not allowed to talk about, Chris Benoit, because of the fact that he's got such great talent, but yet he's not so wonderful when it comes to the mic skills. So I expect him to get better. But I'm excited about seeing what he's going to do against Sanity. I want to say that. And I think he'll do some great things. I love this Sanity promo, Paul. I know it's stupid to sit here and say this, but I love the fact that they filmed it at night to really give it that feel of these people are just – I guess you just use Mad Max. Have we talked about that? Kind of like they feel like that Mad Max group that they're, you know, kind of like they just walked out of the desert.
I don't think we've ever akin them to Mad Max at all.
I don't know if that's a right analogy or if I should akin them to something else, but they really do look like they're grungy. They're kind of dirty. They look like they're from their apocalypse. That's just the way that they are, but that's the perfect. They're hitting their gimmick all right on the head, if you ask me, because they're very dangerous, you know. And they wouldn't come out looking like the New Day to be dangerous. So, but I love that promo though. EY did a great job. I think the setting was perfect for it. So, it actually sets up a good thing for Chicago. I think overall we're set up for a pretty awesome match.
Yeah, and I would imagine it opens the show, too, unless some other stuff that has happened changes the card around. But, I don't know if I would see Sanity in a Mad Max sort of vibe, just because, you know, there's not enough shoulder pads on their leather jackets to really get that vibe for me.
Yeah.
They look like a street cult to me, where they're just, you know, the guys that walk in off the street and they all hang out with each other, and EY's like cutting a sermon in the back alley of Full Sail or something like that, and like, oh, NXT start, we gotta go, guys, and there they go.
Are they the Warriors? Are you thinking the Warriors, Paul?
Sort of post-apocalyptic, not so much, but definitely I think Warriors is a good picture.
Okay, just the grungy Warriors. They're not the crisp, clean ones. Okay, I can see that. I can see that. So
I mean, less ball bats and more insanity, but, you know.
I'll take that. That's fine with me. You know, and you know, I love this group. I love Sanity overall. And I've talked at it ad nauseum, so I'm not going to continue on that path. But I think that they've got a great, you know, future ahead of them if they choose to do a few things with them, and these kind of promos help them. This is how Bray Wyatt kind of actually built his career in NXT, right? And I think they're doing a fine job kind of setting their, you know, stones as they go down the path.
I completely agree with you 100%. So we get a video package for Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates UK championship match this Saturday, which their last encounter in the finale of the UK Championship tournament was just awesome. We get a video package for Patrick Clark, who has a lot of Dalton Castle to him. That's sort of here or there. And then we get this interview with Asuka from her car, where she reveals that it doesn't really matter who she faces. She doesn't have time for any of the questions about her title match, because, you know, she's Asuka. And the interview ends, and so she shows up at the building. Fans are there to meet her, and she just sort of acts nice and takes pictures with them. But the point is, she's supposed to be kind of false. And once she's done, she lets out this big sigh and all this other stuff. So, I mean, it's really, really interesting that Asuka's, like, without having to do a lot of talking, very quickly turned into this almost, like, two-faced character where she's doing what she has to just to get in there and murder somebody.
It's the truth. You're right on point on that. And, you know, I actually really enjoyed this whole thing, right? Because it does exactly what it needs to do. It shows who she is. Of course, the interview is next question. Is it over yet? Playing that prima donna, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't deserve my time. I'm just going to go through this and then just end it. And then I'm going to pretend to placate and then hate everybody. And that's what she's doing right now without playing it up too much, because you would think this would be like a Miz type character, right? A Hollywood. But at the same point, that's not what they're getting here. They're getting here is there's a lot of people that love Asuka. She's a big fan favorite. Heck, we love Asuka. But it's just a fact that it's going to this whole realm of we're giving you a reason to really kind of not like her and to kind of hate her and to kind of feel like she's fake, like you're saying here. And I think this was good. I think they did what they needed to do to get that point across. And yeah, I mean, hey, whatever it takes. I mean, I'm okay with that. If it means her doing these kind of things to get in there just to kill someone, let's do it. I love it.
I completely agree with you. So we only have two matches left to talk about. The first one is women's division action as Sonya Deville takes on Lacey Evans. They get about 3 minutes or so. It's a lot rough around the edges. I think both of these girls have a lot of promise in them, especially Sonya, who has, I think, the look they're after. As far as not only is she pretty, but she does legitimately look like she can kill you. She has a military background. She has all these great things. That's Evans has a military background, isn't it? This is Sonya
yeah.
Deville has the MMA background.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think she looks the part. Lacey Evans, I think this is like maybe the third or fourth time we've seen her. We still haven't got to see a whole lot, but she's another person, too, who has that definite diva women's superstar look that WWE just can't get enough of. And if they can learn to wrestle along the way, then that's just gravy.
Yeah, exactly. And this kind of reminds you that you're watching developmental a little bit here, like you said. It wasn't a perfect match, and I think they did fine for what it was worth. I think that they, you know, at least gave you some idea that, you know, Lacey Evans is, you know, not gonna just job out here. I think that they kind of showed that she's got a lot of talent, that she's pretty good. She kind of reminded me the way that they've kind of treated Liv Morgan. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, has got some good offense in, even though not always the winner. So you got to appreciate that. I think with Sonya, yeah, I think you're pretty right on that. With the fact that I think they've been looking for MMA fighters for just this, to kind of showcase a different style, but still have that wrestling part involved, you know, and you could definitely see the MMA background within her moveset here. And I think it's also something that kind of draws eyes because of the fact we've seen, you know, with some of the stuff, the crossover with the UFC and WWE, you know, of course, like we've talked a ton in the past about, you know, would we ever see one of the big MMA girls come over to WWE, especially, I'm already blanking on her name, the biggest one of all time.
Ronda Rousey,
duh. There you go. Thank you, Paul. Yeah, Ronda Rousey. They keep, you know, flirting with that idea, and Sonya kind of gives you that without having to actually pull a Ronda Rousey. So maybe they can grow their own, you know, and then maybe that's what they're going here. I enjoyed that part of it. You know, the match may not have been perfect, but I at least enjoy watching the developmental of these two.
I agree with you entirely. And on the flip side of that, you get this awesome Cassius Ohno versus Andrade Cien Almas. They get about 9.5 minutes or so. Real big back and forth. Lots of big hits. This feels like a Chris Hero on the Independence kind of match. And Almas keeping pace with him the entire time, doing his own shtick as well throughout. And, man, this was... It's not often you get to see these, like, big, hard-hitting matches in NXT, let alone the WWE... but when they come through every once in a while, like they really work out. And for sure, Ohno absolutely just murders Almas with a couple roaring elbows to get the win. And I don't think I can speak highly enough of this match. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. You know, it's kind of funny because sometimes I find Almas a little annoying. And I think honestly, sometimes they're going for that. I don't think that's just Almas. Thomas himself, I think really they're trying their best to get him to be that way. But I think that you're right. This is one of the best matches I've seen Ono have since he's been back, and I appreciated the work rate for both these guys. I think they'll put a lot out there and to really showcase to people that, hey, they've got it. And, you know, overall, I have nothing bad to say about it. I mean, I was just really down with this, and this made both guys come out very likable. I really appreciated that part too, because I mean, I think sometimes people just see some of the other parts and the other situations both these guys end up in, and they're not so favorable to them. This kind of did everything right for both.
I agree with you entirely. Almas looks insanely tough here, just because it took so much for Ono just to keep him down, and I think you get a good side of Ono that you have really yet to see from him on the main roster, and I kind of hope they keep this edge to him as far as his matches go, because it's just worked all for me, all over the board. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they have to, Paul. They've got to keep that edge on him. I really do, because this is the most connected I've felt to Cassius Ono since I watched him come back. There really has. The rest of this has just kind of felt like, oh, he's a name, and that's all I've got to hold on to. This match actually made me want to follow this guy, to root for this guy. They've got to keep that edge.
I agree with you, and they need to do some more character work for him, too. That's something I can't harp on enough, is both Ono and even Almas, to some degree, could really use just, you know, some more promos or some more segments to where they can just sort of help grow their character. Because, I mean, Ono especially, outside of this, it's just been kind of flat, and Almas, they say he has a gimmick, but we don't really get to see it all that often, so more of that would be wonderful.
Yeah, if we knew Spanish, we'd probably get a lot more, but we just, at least I know, so maybe we have to learn.
I mean, I know a few pieces, but not enough to keep up with them, so.
Yeah, I get you.
Well, that's NXT so. For the week, Gary.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate everyone who's come and joined us this week. Of course, don't forget, if you want to hear our TakeOver Chicago predictions, you've got to go check out episode 147, part 2 of Wrestling to the Max. That is, of course, available on W2Mnet.com. It's also available on the Wrestling to the Max stream if you go subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Plus, don't forget also the W2M Network if you want all the other great content we have to offer. Of course, if you want to go find the other reviews that we have, make sure you go check out the Raw review and SmackDown Live review, and of course our 205 Live review as well. We appreciate you joining us tonight, and we will catch you guys on the flip side.
Have a good one, guys.